Well, I want to talk about something that really happens every day. It happened yesterday. It happened. It'll happen here. It'll probably happen. We pray that it'll happen in this room. It's been happening for hundreds of years, and that is people take time and make a well thought out decision what they're going to do with Jesus and what he says. And that happens all the time. And once we make that decision, whether it's new light and new understanding, or you know, new truth from the Word, or it's, you know, for the very first time, when we make that decision, a well thought out decision, and we're convinced that God and his Word is true, it begins to change the way we think. And it begins to change how we see things, and that eventually changes how we live. And we think, well, you know, Paul, that's a big, big deal, what you're talking about this morning. Well, I want us to go into Luke's Gospel, chapter 5 this morning, and see how Jesus did it. Because if we can see how Jesus changes the way people think and how they live, we can begin to see how Jesus does that in our life as well. So when we turn the pages into Luke chapter 5, we see Jesus in action. Let's read the story. One day, as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw the water's edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from the shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we've worked all hard all night and haven't caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." Isn't that interesting? Three or four verses before, this Simon Peter is calling this man Jesus Master. And now he's saying, "Go away from me, Lord, I'm a sinful man." Interesting story right there. Verse 9, "For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken." See, Peter, what's going on is new light, new understanding, seeing Jesus in a new way, in a new light. When he began to see Jesus in a new way, in a new light, he began to see himself in a new way. And so, let's pick up 9. "For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men.' So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him." Jesus was a very attractive figure. He had ways to capture people's attention and communicate new truth into their life. And when Jesus did that, Jesus had the influence, had the power to change what people thought about, change how people saw things, changed what really, really was, how people live. Jesus had that influence. He had that power. He still has that influence today. But this story in Luke chapter 5 tells us how Jesus did it. How did he do it? How does Jesus keep attracting us to him so we begin to think different, we begin to live different? How does Jesus do that? Well, we see that in the Luke 5 story. First of all, we see that Jesus sees possibility in every situation, except giving speeches at district assemblies. Every other possibility, Jesus sees possibility in every other situation. That's the only one that I can think of at the moment. Yeah. Well, it's easy for you to say, Quentin. Yeah, you. I'll give you my notes and you do that. Yeah. And you would do it for me. I know you would, Quentin. But in the story in Luke chapter 5, we see that the crowds were growing. And we can just imagine growing crowds. People are attracted to Jesus. And Jesus sees two boats. Now, nobody else saw a floating platform at the lakeshore. But that's what Jesus did. So he climbed in one of the boats. He just kept on teaching, pushed away from the shore just a little bit. And the Bible says that he sat down and he just kept teaching. He saw those boats in a way that nobody else saw those boats. But that only gets us started in this Luke chapter 5 story. We see also that Jesus issued an invitation. Jesus said to the tired, discouraged fishermen, go to deeper waters and throw out your nets. Now these fishermen, they had fished all night. They were washing the nets. They were tired. They were discouraged. What the fishermen saw was empty nets. No interest from the fish. But what Jesus saw was completely different. The fishermen, they saw the problems. Jesus saw the possibilities. Jesus saw that when he looked out into the water, he saw a whole school of fish just anxiously waiting to jump into the nets. Now the fishermen, when they looked at the situation, they concluded, there's not a fish in those waters. Jesus saw a bunch of excited fish ready to be part of a great catch that would be talked about for hundreds of years. Jesus didn't see the possibilities just in this situation. Everywhere Jesus went, it's what attracts us to Jesus even today. Jesus sees possibilities. When Jesus saw the hungry, if you're a New Testament scholar, you might remember the story that there was a day that 5,000 men sat on a mountainside plus women and children, and they were hungry. When everybody else could see the hunger, Jesus could see a feast. When Jesus met the sick, he saw healing. When Jesus met the discouraged and defeated, Jesus always saw hope. When Jesus met the fishermen with empty nets, all he could see is a miraculous catch of fish. You see, Jesus sees possibility in every situation. In every situation, Jesus sees possibilities. That brings us great hope. That should attract us, make us thirsty for the presence of this person named Jesus. Because the situations that you and I face that seem impossible, Jesus sees them different. Jesus sees great possibility. That's enough to keep me attracted to Jesus, but that just gets us started in this Luke chapter 5 story. We also see that Jesus sees potential in every person. I like that. Probably some of us in this room would say, wow, you know, that's attractive about Jesus. We're introduced to a man by the name of Peter. Now, Peter was a case. He was one interesting guy. Peter lived with a short fuse. And a lot of times before that fuse went off, he didn't put a lot of thought into it. Remember, Peter was the man that had the sword when Jesus was arrested. And an army of soldiers came to arrest Jesus. And here's Peter. Here's Peter with his little steak knife. And he pulls out that steak knife and he starts swinging it and cutting off a soldier's ear in the middle of a whole host of people. Peter had a short fuse. And Peter was the man that was always sticking his foot in his mouth, but sometimes too late. He should have stuck it in his mouth earlier. He's always getting himself into trouble. One minute, we read about Peter, and he's just amazing. He's following Jesus up close. But then the next minute, he's following Jesus at a distance. One moment, Peter is calling Jesus master. And then the next minute, Peter is saying, Lord, Jesus, get away from me. Get away from me. That's Peter. When Peter looked at himself, he probably was one discouraged man. But when Jesus looked at Peter, Jesus saw things in Peter that Peter couldn't see himself. Jesus saw a willingness in Peter to drop everything and follow his heart. That was Peter. Jesus saw a man tough enough and willing to work all night without success, but still take the next step Jesus invited him to take and put out the nets. That's what Jesus saw when he saw in Peter. Jesus saw in Peter the willing attitude to be led before he became a leader. The willingness to be a follower of Jesus before he would be a leader of man. That's what Jesus saw in Peter. Jesus saw a man of deep passion, a man who, despite being knocked down over and over and over, a willingness to get back up and try again, try maybe doing something different the next time. That's what Jesus saw in Peter. Jesus sees potential in every single one of us. That's good news. That's not just good news for Peter. That's good news for you and I. See, the story, it's a great story about Peter, but it's an even better story about Jesus. You see, if Peter minus Jesus, we wouldn't be talking about him today. It's Jesus that made all the difference in the world in Peter's life. Without Jesus, Peter is just one exhausted fisherman. That's all he is. Without Jesus, we know nothing about this Peter. Without Jesus, the nets, they're still empty. Without Jesus, what Peter said about himself was absolutely true and would forever be true. I'm just a sinful man. You see, Jesus is the superstar in this story. When Peter looked deep within himself, he didn't see what Jesus saw. Jesus saw something totally different in Peter. That right there keeps attracting me to this man, Jesus. Because if he could see something in Peter that Peter was missing, maybe you and I can see and trust Jesus to see something different and more in and through our lives. There's another thing that keeps us attracted to Jesus, and that's Jesus puts purpose into every willing heart. This is a life changer. If we could just see this point in what Jesus does and how he does it, it is just absolutely life changing. Consider the story, Luke chapter 5 story. When Jesus said, Peter, from now on, you will catch men. What Jesus was saying is Peter, I've got a bigger plan. I've got a better future. Peter, there's a God-sized plan that's just specifically fitted for you. It will keep your heart pumping and keep your pulse pumping. That purpose will change you from the inside out and change your entire life. But Peter, you got to know this about God's dreams, because it's going to be an enemy in every God-given dream. And that's why Jesus said, Peter, don't be afraid. That will always be a threatening voice in God's invitations. Can you imagine? There's a story in the New Testament of a paralytic who had been paralyzed for his entire life. And Jesus came to that paralyzed man and said, get up and walk. Can you imagine? And it's easy to imagine. It's not a stretch of imagination. That paralytic man saying, well, that's never happened before. I can't do that. If I just move my arms to try to get on my feet, I'm going to make an absolute fool of myself. There's always that threat of fear, always that temptation to doubt. When Jesus said to that thief that was hanging next to him on the cross, to the thief, Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. I can imagine the storylines going through that thief's mind, can't you? Well, that's impossible. You know, I've never lived a good enough life to spend eternity with Jesus. You know, that's never going to happen. I can imagine every imaginable doubt and every imaginable fear came into that thief's mind at that moment of time. When Jesus said to the fishermen, let your nets down, they had to fight the fear that nothing changed. You know, there were no extra fish in that lake. It was just going to be the same old, same old. Every time Jesus makes a step into our life and invites us to take a new step of obedience, that enemy, that threat of fear and doubt is just gonna happen. That's the threat. That's one of the spiritual battles. That's one of the spiritual battles we face as followers of Jesus Christ. But when fears are fought and we decide to trust God's leading, when God's purposes for our life becomes our passion, whether to figure them out, why God created us in the first place, why God has us in certain places at this particular time, when we begin to live by God's purposes and fight that threat of fear and doubt, God begins to give us a hope and a future and do more in us first than we can even think or imagine. Like at one moment of time, life is small and it's just taking care of, you know, our stuff. And then all of a sudden, God gives an invitation to be fishers of men or influencers in other people's lives. Once we buy into the purposes of God and begin to live God's purposes for our life, all of a sudden, God promises a hope and a future, and it changed things. We are attracted to Jesus because of that, because he sees possibilities in every situation, potential in every person. He pumps purpose into our lives. And then also in this Luke 5 story, we see this. With Jesus, there's always a prospect of an immediate turnaround. I love that about Jesus. You know, you ever hear somebody saying, well, things will never change. They need to read the Luke 5 story. And sometimes the change that God makes happen in our lives, sometimes those changes are immediate. And you say, ah, Paul, I've never seen that before. Yes, yes, we read the story. At one moment, the nets were empty. The next, they were full. One minute, these fishermen were exhausted. All of a sudden, they're energized. They're calling for another boat to help. Sometimes there's the prospect of an immediate turnaround. One minute, Peter is saying, Jesus, go away from me. The next minute, Peter is leaving everything in order to follow this man, Jesus. That's the power that Jesus has. He changes the way we think. He changes the way we see things. He changes the way we see ourselves and our existence in the world. He changes the way we think. He changes the way he lives. That's why we keep being attracted to this man, Jesus. This Luke 5 story, it's an old story. And I would imagine for many of us, maybe even the majority of us here this morning, when I started reading that Luke 5 story, you said, oh boy, I know this story. And it never changes. The nets were empty and then they were full. Peter's saying, I'm a sinful man, and the next he's following Jesus, and the story never changes. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can bring life to an old, old story. And I'm just wondering this morning if he's not doing that in your life. Maybe it's a present situation that's all you see is a dead end. That's all you see is absolutely no hope. And all of a sudden you read the Luke chapter 5 story and all of a sudden you begin to think, oh, well, with Jesus, he sees possibilities, and I'm a follower of Jesus. So when I go into that impossible situation tomorrow morning, whether it be work or community or whatever it be, all of a sudden I know the person I'm following, if he sees possibilities in every situation, there's got to be one there. And all of a sudden, this man Jesus begins to change the way we think. Or maybe this Luke chapter 5 story introduces us with a thought that Jesus sees something in you that you don't see yourself. And we live with ourselves, we can't get away from ourselves. And we think, that habit that just keeps keeps dragging me down, that thought life process, my past is so bad that a God would never love me. And we talk to ourselves like that, and all of a sudden we get into the Luke 5 story and we see Peter, he's not any worse than we are, and maybe worse than we are. And Jesus came to Peter and he saw possibility and potential in Peter. Maybe this morning, this story, the Lord is using, and he's speaking truth into somebody's life and saying to you, saying to me, there's more story in you than you even think or you imagine. Maybe that's what the Lord is doing with the Luke chapter 5 story. Maybe the story is one that you've heard your entire life. But today's the day that God wants you to do battle with a fear or a doubt in your life. We've all had them in our spiritual journey. If we can't be real in this room, we can't be real in any other room in the world. We know the light that God wants us to walk in. We absolutely know the next step God has for us. But we're afraid to take it. And God is good and he's faithful. God doesn't trample our free will and our decision. And God is faithful. Every time we come in here on a Sunday morning, he keeps bringing up the same thing. And he's good and he's faithful and bringing up that next step. But fear and doubt holds us back. Some of us might be relating to the Luke 5 story in that way. And in this story, we see Jesus saying, Peter, I know how you see yourself, and I know how you see the situations and all of that, but Peter, don't be afraid. Don't let fear win in this. Don't let doubt. And when their attraction to Jesus became so strong that it trampled the fears in their life, the Bible story says they left everything and followed Jesus. Trusted Jesus. Time is precious. Thanks for investing the time in this Luke chapter 5 story with me this morning. It's this man, Jesus, that's the attractive figure in Christianity. When we look at his life, when we study, when we look at these Luke chapter 5 stories, and we begin to see how Jesus works and why Christians are continually attracted back to the person of Jesus, because Jesus has the power to change the way we think, change the way we see things, change the way we live. We can trust him. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity today to get into your word, to share your word with your people. Lord, I would just ask that you would take this word and bless it, multiply it, make a difference in the way we think today. Lord, somebody here this morning is like a Peter. And when they come close to you and they have thoughts of God, they say, just stay away because I'm a sinful man. I'm a sinful gal. But just because that was Peter's response, that didn't alter your plan. You continued to take initiative. You continued to pursue because you loved Peter and you love us. Lord, I would just pray that as we open up the Word of God on Sundays and between the week, that the Word of God would just live. We wouldn't scratch our heads and say, I wonder what God is saying, or I wonder what Jesus is doing. But may we be able to find ourselves in your story. Lord, help us to see possibility like you do in the situation we face. Lord, may fear and doubt never win. May we, like Peter and these fishermen, say yes to you and trust you. In Jesus' name.